Hello and welcome to Travel Genius. I'm Mark Elwood.
And I'm Nikki Eckstein. We're the Travel Geniuses.
This week, we'll be talking about some hot off the press hacks for booking airfare and whether they really work.
Plus, we'll be joined by Kevin Cirilli, whose entire job as a political reporter is based around following Donald Trump's every move as it happens, whether that's in Washington or Helsinki, Scotland or Mexico.
And perhaps most excitingly, we're going to tell you about a free bonus you can get on an airplane, even when you're sitting in economy. All that and more on this episode of Travel Genius.
So, Mark, there's some new data that came out this summer from Kayak that basically says something that's very self-serving to the travel engine.
What a surprise.
What a surprise.
Okay, get time with. Tell me all about
it. I'm sure you're familiar with their hacker fares, which basically, it's very smart. They put two one-way tickets together to give you a better price than if you had just booked a round-trip ticket altogether. The data that they have just dug up shows that you can save up to as much as 16% on your flights by booking this way. Obviously, they're telling you to book on their website. But at the same time, 16% is nothing to sneeze at.
It isn't, but hacker fares, this is the thing. Kayak did a brilliant job of packaging under a really, really catchy name, something that has been a truth of the travel industry since really the late 1990s, when airlines started pricing one-ways as half or less than half of round trips, rather than penalizing you for taking one way. So whenever they sort of do a ta-da moment about this, I do roll my eyes a little, saying, yeah, I know I can save money if I book on different airlines, but is 16% enough?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think because they're not making you work too hard for it, it's worth trying. But there are caveats besides that that I think are worth noting. In the data, for instance, it basically tells you that this doesn't always work and that really your odds of having a savings of 16% on your flight depends entirely on when you're traveling and where you're going.
So the usual rules. Shock. In other words, so again, what they're saying is, oh, you could save 16% sometimes, maybe, if kinda. Big asterisk, not always, not on that flight. So what do you really mean?
The please. Fine print is extensive.
Exactly. It's just like, please book on Kayak. And I think we already knew that.
I think you're exactly right. Just for the record to show it, they say that the savings work best when you're flying to big European hubs, things like Frankfurt, Florence, London, so on and so forth, and if you book 1 to 4 weeks out from your departure, so last-minute tickets. But I think that there's a lot of confusion in the industry, and I think it's to the detriment of travelers in general, that there are so many myths about when you book your airfare and how to do it best, and whether they even work at all.
You honestly, Nikki can see me. If I could roll my eyes back into my head, I can't really do that. If I could roll my eyes back into my head, I would roll them that far.
You came close, Mark.
I was good. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was trying very hard. The thing is, whenever you read, whenever you hear that there is a magic day, date, time to book an airfare, you'll always find that that is attached to a travel booking engine brand, Orbitz, Kayak, whomever. There is, repeat after me, there is no magic time to book an airfare. Airfares go on sale all the time. The idea that there is a magic time is a legacy of when the airfares were loaded in manually once a week. If that was still true, the websites would crash because everyone would book at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday.
And I think that you see proof of that in the fact that these studies come out year after year after year, and every year they say something different.
But what should they say? This is not true.
Which isn't to debunk the fact that these websites like Kayak and other of their competitors are offering a wonderful service,
sure,
as they do. I actually really like booking my airfares on Kayak, and I find that their predictive technology is quite good. But the studies and the data behind when and how to book
are basically
a lost cause.
No, again, repeat. Like, I feel like we need to chant this. Like, there is no magic bullet. There is no magic bullet.
It's not Tuesday. It's not Wednesday. It's not Thursday. It's not Friday.
Whenever you find it. Again, okay, Nikki, you give, like, we both have our favorite little hacks. What do you think is the non-branded, time-specific way of getting a great deal on an airfare?
Well, I think first you need to contextualize what that means to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's necessarily the cheapest ticket. right? I think the best airfare can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, and you need to do your research to figure out what a fair price is and what a good route is and figure out where that leaves you. But if you really do want to just save dollars and cents, there are a couple of little tips and tricks that you can use that don't take much time and are definitely worth trying. For me, I would say try the version of an airline's website that's in its home language.
So you need Google Translate in one window and the website in the other, or?
You can do Google Translate in the same window, Mark. Imagine you're booking.
That won't tell them that you're in America. I'm getting very tech confused.
It manages to work. If you pull up the URL that is in the home country where the airline is based, it will actually trick the airline into showing you local prices, which can be lower than what they're showing to foreigners. And that's not to do with your particular browser or how they track you online and your behavior and all of that. It's actually a separate website.
And you're not doing anything wrong. That's the exact seat you would have booked no matter what. Now, we have to say something about what people shouldn't do. So that's a great tip. That's a do, but a don't. And we're just going to say the word. This is sort of like, I feel like this is the Candyman of travel. When you mention it, someone comes and pulls you away. Skip-lagged.
Skip-lagged is the travel industry's biggest don't, in my opinion. If you haven't heard of it, it's this little startup that has gained quite a lot of notoriety. The site is still startup-y. It's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. But the premise is that it will book you a flight with a layover in which your layover is actually your final destination.
So it cuts the price. Basically, if you can't get a good price to Vegas, it will book you from, say, Chicago to Vegas to LA, and you just step off in Vegas, and voila, you've paid a much cheaper price than you would have done booking that Chicago-Vegas direct.
And I'm going to guess that you were flying United because you started in Chicago.
Thank you. I was picturing myself on a United plane. Yeah.
Let's say you skipped that flight from Vegas to LA. United will keep track of that. Mm-hmm. They know. And most likely they know that you weren't delayed from Chicago to Vegas. Therefore, there wasn't a good reason for you missing that flight. And very realistically, you can get blacklisted from that airline.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you do it once, the airline is probably going to give you a little bit of leeway because you can miss planes. You can be in the airport, not notice the time. But if on your record there is this constant, somehow you keep missing the second flight, they could blacklist you. They could charge you what you should have paid for the direct flight. And also, I'm sorry, people, to use a British idiom, it's just not cricket. You are breaking the rules. And, you know, if you get busted doing that, cry me a river, you shouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't.
I mean, we have learned time and time again that being nice is the best way to get upgraded, and anything else in the travel world, it just pays more than anything else. But this does bring me to one more do.
Okay.
Do refresh your browser. Do clear your cookies. Because when you are searching for flights, sometimes airlines are the ones that are being sneaky. And they are less liable to get in trouble, even if we get busted when we try skip lag.
It's called personalized. Just going to plug my book, Bargain Fever, How to Shop in a Discounted World, available at all bookstores. It's called personalized pricing. And that's a wonderful euphemism for saying, how much can I get away with charging you by checking your pricing history? Amazon's been busted doing it, and airlines have been busted doing it, although legally they are not allowed to. They will tell you they do not do it. Okay, but why not just clear your cookies, don't log in, try an incognito browser, just in case. Because I've heard, anecdotally, off the record, that they're doing it all the time. And if they get busted, they'll just deny it. Haven't you heard that too, Nikki?
Oh, I have heard that, Mark. Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. If you're looking at buying that same little black dress day after day after day, it pops up in your Facebook history. And this is no different than that.
Exactly. So we're going to say, those hack affairs, thank you very much for reminding us that, yeah, you can get a deal on those hack affairs by splitting your trips between two airlines, Kayak. But you can also do it other ways that are just as easy and don't involve using Kayak. So thank you. But I don't know how revelatory that news was.
I don't know. I'll try it all. Might as well try to get a good deal. Though, Mark, there is one other thing that you can do if you want to save money on airfare.
What is that, Nikki? Tell me.
You can tag along on someone else's private jet.
How amazing.
Or you can work your way into a job that requires you to do exactly the same thing multiple times a year.
So that's what Kevin Cirilli has done. Well, kind of more or less. He's the chief Washington correspondent for Bloomberg TV. And so he's constantly following America's most unpredictable politician on Air Force One, campaign planes. But usually, let's admit it, I mean, he is normally stuck in coach. Chances are, if you see Trump, Kevin's just a few feet away.
That's no exaggeration. He was in the room with Trump and Putin in Helsinki, and he watched those quote-unquote special bonds spring to life with Kim Jong-un in Singapore.
And his experience goes far beyond Washington. He's one of the very few people in the whole world, if not maybe the only one. Just listen to this, follow this carefully. He has profiled a reality TV star, presidential candidates, and a reality TV star presidential candidate.
I love that. Let's bring him on. Kevin, thanks so much for dialing in and talking travel with us today.
So before we dive in, there is one procedural rule you need to know, Kevin. Since you're on Travel Genius, we're hoping to get some truly genius tips from you. No pressure. But the pressure is on because whenever we get one, you ready, Nikki? You're going to hear this sound.
Oh, I'm nervous. It's like a competitive thing. Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Okay, Kevin. First things first. And don't worry about the bell. It doesn't take a journalism expert to know that covering politics today means dropping everything at a moment's notice. You actually had to delay our recording today by, oh, I don't know, a half hour to cover breaking news. So this is very real on a day-to-day basis for you. Do you keep a go bag ready in case you have to get out of Dodge?
I should say yes, and I know my boss is gonna laugh at this. No, I actually don't, but what I do keep is a Tide to-go stick, like literally in every backpack that I own and drawer that I have at my desk. And I just have a bunch of Tide to-go sticks, like the way people carry chapstick. That's with me with Tide to-go because, you know, if you ever spill coffee, it's not fun to have to get that stain out.
I mean, we have to remind everybody that you are on camera all day, every day. So a stain actually would be more devastating to you than the average person by a yard / a mile / a lot more than that.
I keep some ties. I keep some extra ties also around my desk. And I'm a big, like, I try to plan as much as humanly possible because the news is so unpredictable. And I keep a lot of very simple, like, outfits for work ready to go. Just in case, like, I'm at home and I have to, like, jump on camera or, like, run somewhere for a professional thing, just having the suit ready and the shirt ready with a tie already there, like, just grab it and go.
That's a great point. I love you talking about suits. I bet you have amazing tricks for making sure a suit comes out unwrinkled and camera ready straight away. Tell me, how do I pack a suit so I can look as slick as you do at a moment's notice?
Well, thank you. So the big thing is it's going to get wrinkled and you can't drive yourself crazy about it not getting wrinkled. What I do is you hang up the suit when you're in the shower and then the humidity will help straighten it out. So no matter where you are, you can take it out of whatever bag you're carrying it in or traveling it in and just hang it on the hook in the bathroom when you're taking a shower, and then the steam will help get it a lot less wrinkled.
I've also heard, although I don't really pack suits very much when I travel, maybe for obvious reasons, but I've heard that if you use a dry cleaning bag, you know, the plastic that they cover your garments with when you receive them from the dry cleaners, I've heard that that's the best way to mitigate wrinkles, is you actually use that as kind of a crease-free layer.
Really? See, I'd worry it would get caught in the zipper. I'd worry that I'm just
you really have to be neat about it, I guess, yeah.
So when I went to Singapore to cover President Trump's meeting with North Korea leader Kim Jong-un, I was, like, very nervous about the long flight and, like, the luggage and the suit and whatnot. You can give your suit to the flight attendant so you can, you know, get rid of all of the risk in terms of having it be wrinkled, and they can hold it for you and they'll hang it up. They have, like, a little closet.
Even if you're not in comfy seats. That sounds very much like you fly only at the front. Well, if you ask them nicely and you...
Not in my personal life. yes, no matter where you are, if you ask politely, I've found that they are more than willing to hang up your jacket and to, if you explain the situation.
And we think we're going to award you one Travel Genius point for that tip about even in economy, you can get your jacket hung up. That's amazing.
I feel like that's something that everybody can use on a very frequent basis.
So,
good work.
Well done.
Thanks, guys.
What's your secret with jet lag?
I don't drink, number one. And number two, I drink a lot of water. So that is, like, probably the best. But then the best tip that I can think of is break a sweat. I mean, seriously, you're going to be tired. That's what I always tell myself. Like, you're going to be tired no matter what. Like, the time zones never work in your favor. Traveling is not the most ideal, you know, thing in the world with, you know, delays and all that. But the second you touch down, just, like, go on a walk. If you can squeeze a run in, I'm a huge believer in running. And just even if it's, like, 20 minutes, just, like, break a sweat. And, you know, you try to at least beat jet lag just a little bit. That was really important for me, especially in Singapore, after, like, it was, like, a crazy long flight. It was, like, the longest flight I've ever been on in my life. And it was, like, I had, like, I think 90 minutes when I landed to kind of, you know, drop off the bag and, like, get to a camera. And I was like, Kev, you've got to just run for 20 minutes. Just, like, get moving. And for me, that's always really, really worked.
I think that makes sense, because then it also kind of tires you out. You can probably sleep better that night, and then you start fresh the next day, ready to go.
Yeah, no, and I think with running, like, this is kind of a funny story. So another travel tip would be, like, especially with, like, workout clothes versus a suit, I try to pack as super light as possible. So before, like, I'd always have all of these socks. Like, I'd have workout socks and I'd have dress socks, obviously. But if you get black socks, no one knows. So, like, no one can tell if it's for the gym or for your suit. And thank you. Yes. But with the socks thing, so, like, I was in Vegas on the campaign trail and I was like, Kev, you've got to squeeze a run in. And with these socks thing, that was kind of how I thought of that, because I actually went on a run in dress socks and then got a hole in them. But it was like trying to, like, squeeze things in, and I actually, like, had this decision about whether I was going to try to go to church or to go on a run. I chose to go on the run, and then the news gods were smiling or have a weird sense of irony, because next thing I noticed, I was in church with Steve Bannon as an assignment, and candidate Donald Trump was campaigning in, like, an evangelical church outside of Vegas, and it was the first time I ever met Steve Bannon face-to-face after only speaking to him on the phone.
About your professional life, and we've talked about going to really far-flung places, but I want to kind of pull us back and say, now you travel all the time, what was the first trip you ever took, and what impact did it have on you? Because now you're a veteran, seasoned, you are a travel genius, that's why you're here.
Thank you.
Where did it all start?
Well, my first family vacation we ever went on, I grew up outside of Philly and Delco, and the first vacation we ever went on was to Colorado one summer. And my grandmother, Mimi, actually took me to Staples and bought me a journal, like one of those really small. It was yellow. It was a yellow journal. I still have it. It's in my parents' attic. And she was like, you got to, like, write down, like, about your vacation and, like, your travel, and you're going to want to remember everything. And so a tip that I still do is I journal. I'm a prolific journaler. And I think of that because she was a huge, massive political junkie. And I remember, like, one of the last campaign rallies before election day, we went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, where she grew up. And I was just thinking, like, I got to write in my journal. So yeah, I journal, and I got that from Mimi.
And do you journal when you're on trips? So is that, do you think that's a good thing to do, to think about vacations and private times like that as real thinking time? Are you one of those people? Because I must admit, I get really lazy on vacation. It's the one time I don't want to think. So you're making me feel very ashamed.
Well, and Mark and I write every day as a living. So it's
no.
Anathema for us to write on vacation.
I'm a huge, like, pop culture fan. I love pop culture, and I try to stay as far away from politics as humanly possible whenever I, like, go away, or, like, even, like, if I'm not at work. Like, obviously, breaking news happens, whatever. But I just try not to, take a break from politics. But for me, like, I've always done my best thinking and processing when I'm on a run or when I'm journaling. And for me, like, my favorite place to write is on a plane or on a train. And I think, like, you can, when you're, like, moving like that, whatever comes to mind is kind of, like, really what's on your mind. I know that's, like, deep. It's probably, like, some, like, not travel genius tips. But I don't know. I love to journal on, in terms of those. But also, like, it's the perfect time to catch up on whatever book you want to read, or, I don't know, what magazine you know you shouldn't buy, like, whatever, like, pop culture.
Oh, totally. It's all about guilty pleasures, right?
Yes,
it's like all the rules go out the window when you're on vacation, all the limitations that you set for yourself in your day-to-day life, whether it's your diet or your reading list.
Because let's be honest, the best books are at the airport. Like, I'm literally reading Bobby Bones' book right now, Fail Until You Don't. I'm like the biggest Bobby Bones fan like ever. And I saw it at the airport. I was like, I'm going to totally buy Bobby Bones.
Who's Bobby Bones? Why do I not?
How do you not know who Bobby Bones is? Bobby Bones is the man. He is like this massive country music radio anchor. He's like the Ryan Seacrest of country music. And he's awesome. He has like this amazing story. So, yeah, he's the man.
I think we're getting to know you better than we ever thought we would.
Yes, travel genius.
Wait, so how do you find how do you find the best running routes? You've talked a lot about running. I feel like I personally am not a big runner, but I've thought about it on vacation a lot of times because I feel like it's a nice way to see a city. But inadvertently, if I try it, I will end up in the wrong place. So is there something that you've found
that
kind
of
steers you in the right direction?
Well, so like at first when I would travel, I would ask the hotel desk people at the front desk. I'd be like, you know, where should I run? And like they have like their nice little route. And then I just was like, no, I'm just going to do this. Like this is going to be the thing that I do that isn't planned. And I just go. I just have to be moving all the time. Like, and that's like, but I think also like with running, the thing that I really kind of enjoy. Oh, here's a travel tip. Always pack like those grocery plastic bags because that's where you put the sweaty clothes and like double bag them and like never mix them with like your suits or your dress shoes or whatever. Like I pack a bunch of them because obviously it can get a little gross.
I'm a Ziploc gallon bag kind of person.
Ooh,
yeah.
I feel like you should get the bell. Now I should take Ziplocs and you should get the bell that I just lost.
I'm going to do it for her. She's too polite. She's too modest. I agree. I always carry Ziploc bags because you never know, especially at security. I've given them to other people who haven't had quart bags at security and have had been the kind of slightly terse security people have tried to make them throw away, say, hand sanitizer. And I've just said, hey, have one of these, because it's just a nice thing to do. And those people feel slightly less overwhelmed. So, yeah, I carry a fistful of them always in my backpack.
I have a weird travel tip.
Okay. We're all yours.
I always travel with my pillowcase. I wasn't going to say that, but I always travel with my pillowcase.
Really?
Yes. It's not like a germaphobe clean thing. I do it because, I don't know, I think like when you're on the road a lot and you're just like in hotel after hotel after hotel for a long period of time, there's like no continuity at all, even though every hotel starts to look the same. But if you make your bed every morning, even they'll remake it for you, but if you make your bed every morning and you have your pillowcase, it kind of feels a little more like home.
I love the idea of waking up in a place, because I've done this. I've stayed in enough sequential hotels night after night where I don't know, I wake up and not know where I am. But I have to say, isn't the joy of being in a hotel that you don't have to make your bed? Like I like the gist of have something from home, but I want my bed made every day. I want clean towels.
Same. Okay. But I mean, just like it's for me, because like with work and the time zones, for me, the hardest thing is like figuring out what time it is in wherever I am and then what time is it in New York. And like that difference really is like crazy hard to sometimes, especially when you're tired, because you're like, wait, it's like 3 a.m. here, but what time is it in New York? Like, do they need me on this time? Like, it's just like, you know, keeping your head around all that. But if you do the same thing, it's all about the routine. Like, there's no routine in news. There's no routine when the work is crazy. But if you do the same thing, like, every second when you wake up, no matter where you are in the world, if you just, like, pull your sheets up. I don't, like, make my bed, like, you know, like, trying to make it, like, look nice.
I'm giving you a bell because I like the idea of bringing your bedtime routine with you.
Yes.
Nikki was mulling
you.
That. Her finger was just over the bell. And she was like, shan't I? And
you got an extra bell.
You got
yes.
One.
Okay,
yes.
So, Kevin, you travel super fast. This summer alone, you reported from 3 countries in 3 days. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I anchored in 3 countries.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that you don't have a lot of free time, but what little free time you can extract from these business trips, how do you make the most of it?
You just have to constantly, like, for me, Instagram is my scrapbook. Like, I truly use it as, like, a way to remember, like, where I was, and, like, I'm so grateful, like, to have this, like, crazy, awesome job is, like, really exciting, and But I think you just have to, like, not be afraid to have fun. The news right now, I mean, you guys all watch the news. It's really intense and busy and whatnot. But, like, it's okay to be like, oh my God, like, I'm in Singapore and there's Dennis Rodman. Like, I don't know. I think you kind of have to be, you have to be willing to have fun and not take yourself so seriously.
Yeah.
Because the news is so serious. But in terms of, like, a tip, I would say the people that have the best advice or the best stories, I actually think that the people at a hotel's front desk or people who work in a hotel lobby are just like reporters because they've seen it all. And, like, I remember in Des Moines, there's this, I gotta give her a shout out. I wasn't even gonna, Sherry, she works at this hotel in downtown Des Moines at this deluxe hotel. And when I first got to Iowa ahead of the caucuses, I was like, this kid from Delco shows up in Iowa. Like, what? What is it? Like, what am I going to do? And she was like, you should join the YMCA. Just, like, buy, like, a guest membership. You can go play basketball. You can go, like, to a spinning class. Like, do whatever you want. And then she was, like, telling me these stories about the people that have come through this hotel and, like, previous presidential candidates. And, like, the notion that Britney Spears has stayed in the presidential suite at this hotel in downtown Iowa, as well as Hillary Clinton and Snoop Dogg.
Same time, like, or like different times? Like, oh, all together?
At different times. Okay.
That'd be one heck of a sleepover.
You would have to break the buzzer if I gave you guys that. You'd be like, boom. Like,
I'm booking that suite.
No, but like, but you just learn. Like, I don't know. I think hotels are like some of the coolest places in the world because just the people that go through and the stories that people have when they work there is nuts. Make friends with the people at the hotel.
Who has the most power? Who's the person that you wouldn't expect to have power that most has power in a hotel?
Oh, my God. Hands down, the cleaning staff.
Ah. Mm.
The cleaning staff, because they, because think about it this way. If you need a towel, if you forgot something, but also if you're in a pinch with laundry, they have the, and I've done this, they have the absolute ability to be like, okay, we can throw his whites in with these towels. Do you know what I mean? Like, they...
Definitely.
Love that.
We love that one.
Always be nice to them, and they can make your life very easy.
So, obviously, Kevin, I've got to ask you for a bit of scoop. We know that our current president has a real penchant for fast food, and specifically McDonald's, but I want to know about his travel habits and what tips we can get from how he handles travel. I know he's not a big traveler. He's quite a homebody. So how does he kind of cope?
I would say this, I'm going to put on my corresponding cap. I would say that President Trump is someone who travels at a relentless pace and enjoys routine in his travel. So I think you hit on something with his penchant for fast food. There's McDonald's everywhere. And I also would suggest that I think with regards to Singapore and Helsinki in particular, what you saw was someone who was not speaking at a campaign rally. So it was a very different tone. So I think he's someone who knows his audience, but he loves it. I would say, and I think this is based on, I've covered him really since the beginning and just watching him in the different environments, he is happiest on the campaign trail. I mean, he wants to campaign. That's all. If he could campaign every single day, I think he would do it. And so I think there's an element to this where, you know, he wants to work. I mean, I really do. I really
obviously
think he likes to work.
He loves the adulation of the campaign trail. But I imagine that as somebody who made his business in hotels, he actually must not mind being on the road and being in hotels as much as it looks sometimes like he might.
Yeah, and you know, he goes, like, if you think of the places where he goes to obviously Palm Beach and his golf resort outside of New York as well all the time. So, I don't know. I mean, I think he likes, I mean, you can make the argument that he really likes routine.
Yeah, he's a creature of habit, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you so much. We could talk to you all day, but we have to let you get back to breaking news pulled you away from.
Can I say this was so much fun?
Well, we love having you. Come back again.
We loved it too.
We want to get you lots of credit. So when people are really thrilled and want to follow you, how other than seeing you on TV all the time, where else can people find you? You said Instagram's your scrapbook. What's your Instagram handle?
Kev Cirilli. KevCirilli at Kev Cirilli. It's the same on Twitter. Easy to find.
Perfect.
Thank you guys so much. I'm a huge fan of you guys.
We came away today with 4 genius tips, thanks to our guest, Kevin Cirilli. Among them, we learned about getting your suit hung in economy, always bringing black socks, something I've never thought about, keeping your bedtime routine in a variety of different ways, and, of course, making friends with housekeeping.
And I'm going to give, I actually think Nikki deserves a point today, so I'm going to give Nikki a rebel point for her Ziploc bag.
I love my rebel points. Thank you, Mark.
This has been another episode of Travel Genius. I'm Mark Elwood.
And I'm Nikki Eckstein. Do you have a favorite travel tip or hack that you'd like to share? Or maybe you've got thoughts on some of the tips that we discussed today. Either way, let us know.
You can call us on, now write this down, 646-324-3490. And maybe we'll even play your tip on the show. You can also find us on Twitter, of course. I'm at Mark J. Elwood with a K and 2 L's.
And I'm at Nikki Eckstein with 3 K's and no C's. If you're a fan of Travel Genius, please take a moment to rate and review us. It helps new listeners find us.
This episode was produced by Topher Forges and Francesca Levy as Bloomberg's head of podcast. Thanks for listening.